Holy Spirit, plant them into our souls and transform our lives. For your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I don't know how you feel when you hear those words being read. I wonder what goes through your head and your heart. They're very strong words that Jesus uses. I don't know about you, I love my family. Apart from on Christmas Day when they really get on my nerves. No. I love my family. Of course we do. Mostly, generally. And so how are we to hear these words that Jesus gives to his disciples? We hear some teaching from Jesus, and then we hear a couple of sort of illustrations, if you like, about consideration. It's a challenge for us today. Are we supposed to take these words literally? I don't know if any of you know the story and the life of St. Francis at all. He founded the Order of Friars Minor, known today as Franciscan monks. He's the patron saint of animals. That's perhaps how most of you might have heard of him, and ecology as well. And his feast day is in October, beginning of October. His life was one of uncompromising discipleship. He literally lived out these words of Jesus, that you had to give up everything. Consider the cost and give up everything. Carry your cross to be a disciple of Jesus. Francis came from a very wealthy family. He was due to inherit a great deal. His dad was a businessman. He had a fortune. And Francis was a very famous young man. He went on military service and was very successful in his life. But he got an illness which brought him near to death, and in that process reassessed life. And he spent some time exploring the Christian faith a bit more, and he heard God's voice saying, "Repair my falling house." And Francis took those words literally. And so he took some of his father's money. His father didn't know about this at the time, to restore literally an old chapel. His father got a bit upset about it, not surprisingly, and it became a very public confrontation and a trial in the public square for theft and fraud for Francis. And Francis came along dressed in all the robes and the garb of fame and fortune and status, and he turned up at this trial to confront his dad, or to his dad to confront him. And Francis did something quite shocking. He literally stripped off all of this garb in front of everybody, denounced it, placed it down. He was covered in a cloak by a priest nearby, and he walked away from the fortune, from the fame. He walked away to a simple lifestyle of following Jesus. A very literal way of taking Jesus' words. And I find that quite challenging. Gosh, I mean, is that what I should be doing? When was the last time my life looked anything different because I'm a Christian to the people that I live with in my community? When was the last time I made a stand because I'm a Christian? I felt challenged as I read this. I'm going to pass around a tin while I'm speaking, and feel free, if you would like to take out a little packet of Truly Salt. I'm going to give that to you to pass around. Because as I read these words of Jesus, the last couple of verses sort of come in at the end and often are separated. But I thought to myself, it's about being salt, isn't it? It's about having that taste about my life that looks different and tastes different and is different. When was the last time I did anything that made people think, oh, she's a Christian? I was thinking about the Halloween on Strictly last night, the Halloween theme that they have on Strictly. And, you know, it does get on my nerves, everything, Halloween. Sorry if you love it. But I was remembering last year, if anyone was a Strictly fan, the guy called Dan, who is the sports presenter and the BBC, the breakfast presenter, I can't remember his surname. Thank you. He refused, in the most gracious of ways, to dress up in nasty Halloween things. I think he dressed up as a lobster or something. I can't remember now. And he said, it's because I'm a Christian and I don't celebrate Halloween. It was simple. It was gracious. It made a point. And he didn't need to do it, but he chose to do it. I thought, wow, when was the last time I chose to be salty? I have no idea where I am on my notes, by the way, so you might be here for a long time. So this teaching from Jesus challenges his hearers to say, consider the cost of discipleship. We live in a world at the moment, don't we, where we're talked about the whole time, media tells us the whole time that the cost of living is unbearable. The cost of living is going up and up and up. And we are encouraged to think about how we can cut the cost of living in various ways. Jesus talks to the crowd here not about the cost of living, but the cost of eternal living. The cost of being a disciple of Jesus. And verse 27 says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's strong words, isn't it? Because for many of those people in the crowd, that wasn't a metaphor or an allegory. That was reality. Literally, they may well be asked to pick up a cross. And Jesus says to the crowds, this faith, this kingdom of God, is not about entertainment. It's an invitation to life. It's an invitation that is life-changing. So consider it well. And he gives a couple of illustrations of people who consider things. When I thought about this, I wondered if perhaps this sort of bit of teaching for Jesus is a bit of a cooling off period. Have you ever bought, I don't know, insurance or something like that, and they give you a 14-day cooling off period, just in case you're jumping in without thinking too much? I think that's what's going on here. Just before this teaching, Jesus is in having dinner with a group of Pharisees, and he tells them the kingdom is open to all, and he shocks them by who he says is invited to the table with God. But then he comes outside and he's got this vast crowd of people, and he says, actually, it's going to cost. It means something. And I think he doesn't want people just falling into line, just thinking, yeah, hey, Jesus, he does miracles, woo. He's saying, there's something for you to take into account. And he goes on to think about these two considerations. he talks about considering about building a foundation. Let's have a little read. Where does it say? Oh, that's it. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Well, I told you, didn't I, that I've just been doing a building project, and there's a lot of counting the cost in that, that you have to try and work it out, and it always goes above budget, so I'm told. We went to Ely Cathedral. Has anyone here been to Ely Cathedral? I'm a bit of a cathedral person. I like cathedrals. Yeah, there we go. Well, you may well remember then that Ely Cathedral has an octagonal tower that is built of wood, because the original tower that was built, the foundations were not strong enough. Ely, like Glastonbury, used to be an island, and the foundations were not strong enough. So the tower, it lasted 300 years and then collapsed. And so this great sense of, oh, whoa, what do we do now? And great medieval ingenuity, they built this octagonal wooden tower. And it was fantastic to be a part of that. And the guy who was taking us around said, the people saw it as an act of God. They felt that God had acted and they needed to work out what they did about that. And there was this whole consideration going on. What do we do now? Our tower has fallen down. It's very public. And they built this wooden octagonal tower that people visit from all over. We went to visit it, and I thought it was fantastic. Oh, just to say, it took 18 years to complete and cost £2,406, 6 shillings and 11 pence. That's how much it cost to build the tower. I thought that was quite a nice little... But Jesus says, consider the cost. You wouldn't build things without consideration. And it seems that throughout the Bible and throughout history, after consideration, after welcoming Jesus, after considering the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, after considering the forgiveness and the grace that comes through Jesus and the new start and the promise of eternal life, life in all its fullness, after those considerations, it seems that disciples down the years have said, yes, this is a cost that I am willing to take that cost, to walk that way. I am willing to bear the cross. I am willing to give up whatever God asks me to. I am willing to sacrifice all. The first disciples called by Jesus left their nets and followed him. The early church literally sold all their possessions and shared with everybody. The new disciples in Ephesus burned books to do with their old way of life. St. Francis renounced everything to follow Jesus. And it's a massive challenge. And I was thinking, how does my discipleship look in that? I was remembering when I was 15. So we're now talking 40 years ago and more. And I was going to a party. And, you know, I'd had a couple of little boyfriends, you know, as you do when you're in year 9 at school. That was third year in those days. And I decided, I was going to this party, and I decided I want to follow Jesus. I'd had this, you know, I was a very strong Christian in those days. Long time ago. I'm sure I annoyed some people with my Christian faith. And I was just like, no, I'm not going to compromise. I am going to follow Jesus. And I remember before I went to this party, I was 15, kneeling down and saying to Jesus, Jesus, I want to live for you. I don't want to find a boyfriend, ever. You can keep the boys. I will walk with you, Jesus. Amen. And that was my prayer before I went out at 15. It's a big prayer, isn't it? Renouncing boys. It lasted for 2 hours until I met this guy who turns out to be my husband. I know, isn't that fantastic? What a great story. I love it. But there's something in there, isn't there? You know that when we say, I'm willing to let go, I'm willing to renounce, God repays 100-fold The joy and the wonder of eternal life, the joy and the wonder of abundant living, the joy and the wonder of salvation and grace in Jesus stacks up. But I was challenged just to think, I wonder if my life still has salt. And I want to say to you, take this home with you. Is there something in your life at the moment that you feel perhaps is a bit of a compromise on your faith? Perhaps the shininess has worn off. Perhaps you're taking the easy road. And I'm using the word you're, and I'm talking to myself. I'm taking the easy road. Perhaps I'm not necessarily putting my head above the parapet to say, I'm a Christian. We literally just had a little conversation, didn't we, before the service, Alistair, that when I was a minister in a local church, people would say to me, oh, so what do you do? And I'd say, I'm a minister. First of all, they'd go, you don't look like a minister, which was typical. And I'm like, yeah. But then I would have all sorts of conversations with people, because people are really, really keen to know about the Christian faith and about faith in general and spiritual things, and to talk about Jesus so easily. It's really difficult now to do that. Really difficult. What do you do? Well, I run a retreat house. I usually don't even say Christian, because I'm just a bit like, oh, I'm a bit scared to say that. Come on, Dawn. So, there's a challenge for us to go out, to try to go out today, to be truly salt. Where is God asking me and you to consider the cost, to carry the cross, to let go of those things that perhaps we hold dear? Be willing to say, Jesus, you are above all of that. Jesus, you are beyond all of that. And I trust you, and I will follow you, and I will walk with you today as a individual, and perhaps as Rington Chapel, as a congregation. Let's be those disciples out there, truly salt in the world. Let's pray together, shall we, for a moment. Jesus, we acknowledge your words to us today. I pray that we will be people willing to consider the cross, the price that you paid for our new life, for our salvation. And may we be disciples willing to carry that cross day by day as you call us and lead us. Open our eyes to see how we stand out, how we are salt in this world, in this community this week. Lead us, please, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill us to be more like Jesus day by day. For your glory, we pray. Amen. And we're going to sing In Christ Alone, which is a fantastic hymn of our faith that just puts Christ right at the centre of everything again. Let's